Barbara, and worldwide at kpfk.org. Radio powered by the people.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting this week and every week here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member, and an owner of not one but two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here again with you to talk about cars and get everybody up to speed.
So to speak. See, that's the kind of quality pun you get here at the car show. We have a couple. We have one distinguished guest we will get to. He is in the green room right now being pampered. I believe they give massages in the green room and unlimited number of donuts. So he will be in great shape and on a sugar buzz when we let him in. But first, we're going to go through the calendar. We got some very interesting calendar items coming up here in Southern California. Michelle, have you ever been to Overland Expo?
I haven't.
I have been. I went to the one in Flagstaff, Arizona. I actually camped out, and it was quite comfortable. It was a fun time. And for the first time, you know, Overland Expo has shows across the country. The Flagstaff, Arizona show is the western one. They have one, I think, in Colorado and one back east somewhere. But for the first time ever, they're going to have one right in Orange County, right in the heart of Orange County at the OC Fair and Events Center in Costa Mesa. That's going on right now. So today and tomorrow, you can get down there. Today it ends at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow it goes from 9 to 4 at the OC Fair and Events Center in Costa Mesa for $25. Find out more at overlandexpo.com. And we would be remiss of the longtime host of the car show, Art Gould, now sadly passed away. I think it's been 6 years, almost exactly 6 years, since he passed away and passed the microphone on to me. Art Gould used to love this event, another Orange County event, the 62nd annual Model A Ford Club Pancake Breakfast. That is very homey. That is down home. Michelle, you have to go to this, okay? Can you cover it for us?
Sunday, the March 23rd, the 62nd annual. Yes, I can go. All right. And it's in the city of Orange, which I love when they have events in the circle.
It's like Mayberry.
Yeah, it
without
is.
The violent policing of Barney Fife. It's so peaceful and calm. 701 South Glacelle Street, Orange, California, 7:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Sunday, March 23rd. So that's a week from tomorrow. And then ground pounders, nitro fueled ground pounders, side by side NHRAs come to Pomona March 27th through 30th at the Fairplex. Go to NHRA.com, get your tickets, check that one out. That's always fun. The good thing about NHRA is you can go into the pits, you can line up, you can get an autograph from John Force, from whoever's there. You can be knocked out by the smell of nitromethane fumes. I have done that myself. I didn't actually get knocked out, but I did run screaming with tears flowing down my cheeks from the nitro, screaming like a teenager. It was very embarrassing, but it's the kind of thrill that you get. And then if you've ever seen Top Fuel cars line up and go down the quarter mile, it's an experience like nothing else. Your whole body is shaken by the thing. You realize things like your teeth resonate on a different frequency than the rest of your skull. It's very interesting stuff. And you've been, right, Michelle?
Many, many, many times. Yes.
And am I right? Isn't it thrilling?
Yes. And I've actually been out there on the line with a crew to get a car ready to race there and take off at the what is now In-N-Out Burger drag strip.
That's right. We got to get the name right. In-N-Out Burger, big sponsors.
And every ticket's a pit pass. Really important. You don't have to pay extra. Go roam around a couple hours before they start racing. And you never know who you're just going to bump into while you're grabbing a hot dog and a beer.
That's right. It's a fun time. It's what made America great. Nitromethane inside a Hemi-powered V8, because they're all Chrysler blocks, right? Maybe they are. I don't know. They used to be all Chrysler blocks.
No, I think they're not anymore.
Okay.
You need to get out there, Mark.
Go there and find out. Okay, hot rods and helos, Michelle, tell us.
All right. Oh, this is a fun one. Another Orange County event. See? Orange County, we're rocking with the car events here. This is at Huntington Beach, March 29th and 30th. This one's called Hot Rods and Helos. And it's not way
not helos?
I thought it was helicopters.
Yeah, but helos is if you're using the slang term, isn't it?
Oh, really? Okay, so I'm not down. I'm sorry. Whoa. This is a free event at the Huntington Beach Pier. There's over 300 cars signed up as of the time Jim Dvorak told us about this event, probably more now. And the helicopters come in on Sunday. The Hot Rod Show is on Saturday. Oh, sorry, I got it backwards. Hot Rod's on Sunday. And
the helicopters come in early and they have to land there, right? That's a big guess. That's a separate celebration.
Right. So it's 15 probably
helicopters. It'll be like that scene in Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They should play Ride of the Valkyries as they land. I think that'd
be fun.
Let's
send
them.
So that's happening. And Chip Foose is lined up to be their grand marshal for this weekend.
He is a great guy.
Of car Restomod fame.
Okay. And one last thing before we get to our special guest today. Alpha Club Car Show at the Peterson, March 29th. It's the Alfa Romeo Club is actually, they put this together themselves. They have a wide selection of really fun little cars. Maybe you had one when you were in college. Maybe you wished you had one. Go and see them all at the Peterson, March 29th. It's up on the, the third level of the parking garage. And you can go and check those out. It is going to be a lot of fun. Okay, now let's move on. We are done with calendar for the moment, and we would like to welcome a special guest this week, and later we're going to do a review of one of the cars that they make. You may have heard of this company. You may have seen the distinct headlights on the front end of Rivians, and we are going to learn a lot more about Rivian. We have here, I'm going to say this wrong, so correct me, Michael Shvara. Is that right, Mikhail?
Close enough. We can go by that or with Mike.
Can I call you Mike?
You can indeed.
Okay. Mike, welcome to the car show from Rivian.
Michelle, Mark, happy to be here. Thanks for having us today.
You have a lot of cars there, and there's a lot going on with Rivian. We were talking just a little bit before the show about what you guys have going on. In fact, you are calling from South by Southwest right now, and you guys had a presence there, did you?
Yeah, as the headline sponsor for South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas. Super excited as we walk the streets of Austin, seeing the signage everywhere with the, you know, the South by Southwest lettering as well as our Rivian branding right under. An amazing experience at our Austin space, what we call, renamed as my hat here says, Electric Roadhouse. And then just about four blocks away from that, what we're calling the Electric Joyride, an off-road course, you know, with the backdrop of downtown Austin. What a juxtaposition of getting adventurous in the city.
And you, do you know if you have any presence at the expo, the off-road expo here in Orange County, or is that you have people handling those things?
That is correct. Yeah, we've got some presence out there, and obviously anything with off-road and adventure, you'll find Rivian not far away.
Well said. This guy is good. I can see why he is the one talking to us about Rivians. I have actually been off-roading in Rivians, and it's quite an interesting setup. You get so much torque in an electric car. With 100% of the torque available as soon as the wheel starts to turn. You know, in the past, we have said 100% of torque at zero RPM, and everybody loves to write in, it doesn't, it is now torque at zero RPM. So anyway, pay one RPM, you get 100% of the torque, which when you're going off-road really makes a heck of a difference.
100%. But the capability of our vehicles now with the new generation 2 vehicles, Gen 2, R1S, and R1T, I mean, we've taken power and capability to the next level, whether that's the dual motor, the all-new tri-motor that we've introduced with our second generation lineup, and then the forthcoming and upcoming 1,025 horsepower quad motor. I mean, you talked about speed earlier there in NHRA, but talk about the quarter mile. How about doing the quarter mile at in 2.5 seconds at 130 miles an hour in the R1T? I think that's pretty cool.
That's impressive, especially considering that with an electric vehicle, the batteries, you're talking at least 1,000 pounds just for a regular electric car. And with a Rivian, they might weigh even more. So what is the curb weight of the Rivian R1T?
Well, about, you know, we're just under 7,000 pounds. But with that weight, obviously the low center of gravity really helps with the capability. When we were at Austin in South by Southwest and using that off-road course, we actually were at a roll angle about 32, 33 degrees, and the car was as fly as could be going right around that curve. So that with that weight being nice and low, really good and capable off-road, you're able to conquer any trail or just go fast on-road or even your normal trip down to the supermarket or being the coolest person at school drop-off, the Rivian shows up in a different way.
That's right. And if anybody gets in your way, you just drive over them. I'm not advocating violence.
Always around.
I know. Tell us, for those listening who maybe are not as familiar with it, what happens with the Gen 2? What did you guys do differently to make a Gen 1 into a Gen 2?
Yeah, with debuting the cars back in 2022 as 2022 model year, the first electric truck to market. A few years later, last summer, I should say, of 2024, we debuted our Generation 2 vehicle. Now, on the outside, they look relatively similar. We've made some small changes to the front light bar, a little bit of more dynamic lighting. We've introduced adaptive driving beam, first in the United States to have that matrix LED technology. So right off the bat, an update there, small updates in the rear. But really, under the hood is where all the changes happen. You might not be visible right to the eye, but Mark and Michelle, when you're driving it later this week, you'll feel more power, more efficiency, over 600 changes. And that could be as something as small as a bolt and all the way up to our new electrical architecture. Instead of having 17 computers in the car, or ECUs, as they say in the industry, we brought that down to 7. So much more efficient vehicle, removing over 44 pounds from the car, making it lighter, more efficient, faster, more capable, introducing a more premium interior, what we call Ascend on the tri-motor and quad motor. So changes throughout the vehicle, customer-focused changes, and obviously introducing, like I said, that tri-motor. So expanding the lineup to more people and allowing more people into what our vehicles can do.
So right now on the market, you have the R1T, where T stands for truck, with it's about a 5-foot bed in the back there. And you have an RST, where S stands for SUV. That's what you have on the market right now. In the future, and some of us have been able to see this, I think at Electrify Expo in Long Beach last year, I got a look at what must have been the R2 I think you had there. But you have a couple of new cars coming that you've talked about. So you're not spilling any secrets here. Can you tell us what is an R2 and what is an R3?
We're so excited. About a year ago to the day, just maybe for a year and 4 days, we debuted our midsize platform, and built upon that is the Rivian R2, a midsize SUV, a 5-seater, super capable, very characteristic Rivian design. So as soon as you see it, you'll know it's almost the smaller brother or sister of R1S. Definitely the familiar resemblance there. But even more so beyond that, the midsize platform allows us to shift the vehicles to maybe an even smaller footprint. And that's where the R3 and the, I think what took the internet by storm, the R3X, that evokes the heart of those 80s Group B rally cars that really brings to life with that Laguna blue color and orange side view mirrors we had. So we've been taking those on tour around the United States and Canada, and they get great reception every time and everywhere they go.
So you're promising Group B rally performance. That's a bold statement here on the car show. You heard it.
Definitely inspired by it. And as soon as you see that R3X, I mean, that's the one that I want. Obviously, I've had my reservation in for the R2, but the R3X, everywhere we go, I mean, people are like, build this one right now. Let me buy the one in front of me. And just having that enthusiasm for people that know the Rivian brand, also people that we're trying to introduce the Rivian brand to, it's good to see how having a much more diverse and wide breadth of portfolio can bring a lot of people to market.
Looking up some of the whatever information I could get off the internet, it sounds like the R2 is coming in 2026, R3 possibly 2027. What do you say? Is that close?
We're very excited. Yeah, we've said that we're bringing the R2. Deliveries will begin in the first half of 2026. Very excited to get that one out. We'll begin production at that of that vehicle in our normal Illinois facility, built right in the heartland of America. And then the R3 and R3X will follow after. No concrete timing that we've given just yet. But R2, we're very excited to kick off and begin deliveries next year, starting around 45,000, which hits that heart of the market. Really, average transaction prices are right around there. So you're hitting a wide swath of the market, opening up EVs and really the Rivian take on EVs, that adventure forward driving style, to a much wider audience.
Is that available to be ordered right now, like pre-order?
100%. Go to Rivian.com/R2 and you can put a $100 reservation down, refundable reservation, I will say, as well. So get your place in line. We're super excited with the demand for R2 and can't wait to see that one come to market.
$100 reservation is less than the Tilo electric truck.
I just saw that one recently. I haven't dug into that one too much, but that one definitely turned my head. I can't wait to read more about that.
I hope that that happens. I hope they carry it off. I would put down, I think it's $125 or something. Okay. It's so cute. So cute. But then so is the R3.
The
you
R3.
Kind of want to hug it or, you know, it's like a toy car, but it's so capable. It's this combination.
It's a combination of all things. And even, you know, as the R2 is obviously smaller than the R1, there's a sense of space within it. So it's not like we're skimping on features or anything. It's a Rivian through and through. So it's going to be tested for, you know, some off-road capability. Won't have the air suspension like the R1. But, you know, those wide windows, we're going to have the drop-down rear glass. All windows will come down, giving you that 360, you know, open air experience that we're all about, to get you onto nature and hear everything around you.
You were not inspired by Fisker's, what does he call it, the California mode on the Fisker
Ocean,
right? That's completely separate.
We were inspired, and our mission is to keep the world adventurous, so that's what we aim to do with the R2.
This guy is so good.
And also got bumper stickers.
Right. And by the way, if you would like to go check out the colors that are available on Rivians and check out what you can pre-order interiors, by the way, all vegan leather. And all naturally sourced wood, I was told yesterday. I got a preview of the Rivian retail space that's opening right here in Irvine at the Spectrum. And you can go in there and sit in a Rivian. You can talk to people informally who will tell you all about the options. They even can drag over the different configurations of the tires and wheels to set right next to the truck or the SUV. So you can see what it looks like paired. So, you know, that's opening on this weekend. So you can go down to the Spectrum. They have a whole slew of grand opening events this weekend.
Yeah, Michelle, we're super excited to be at the Spectrum. Obviously, Rivian is headquartered in Irvine. So to expand our footprint in the Irvine, the Southern California area, obviously opening up March 21st. And we do. We have Neighborhood Night on the 21st from 5 to 9 p.m., as well as Rivian Kids day from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday the 22nd, and then a Rivian community workout on March 23rd. That's a Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. So not only a big debut of our new space at the Spectrum, I'm told the locals call it just the Spectrum, so we should know, but at the Irvine Spectrum with the grand opening on the 21st, and then a weekend full of events where people can come down, experience all that Rivian has to offer, whether that's sitting in the new R1T, experiencing the R1S, checking out an immersive space where we can learn more about the vehicles, about our offerings, about Rivian, and just, hey, come hang out with some cool people with the Rivian hats.
Are you guys, where are you in terms of self-driving? I don't want to mention the names of any competitors like Tesla or any company that's claiming full self-driving. In fact, is offering only level 2 driving that you could get on a Camry. But you guys are also, you're pretty far ahead in this self-driving thing. From what I understand, you guys have 11 cameras, 5 radars, and a more powerful complete computing platform. And the R2 and the R3 will provide dramatically enhanced autonomous capabilities. Will those be different than the capabilities on the R1s right now? Tell us about that.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because your timing could not be more perfect. Where just this week, earlier this week, I should say, we launched what we call the Enhanced Highway Assist. We had Highway Assist, and we've taken that to the next level with Enhanced Highway Assist, which is eyes on, but hands off, you know, getting that 11 cameras, 5 radars, over 135,000 miles. We're continuing to expand. At Rivian, we believe in taking a Kaizen approach with continuous improvement. We test and verify before rolling anything out to the market. And we're very proud of where we're at with Enhanced Highway Assist, getting through all those miles, and to make driving more relaxing, whether I'm going to the trailhead to get ready for my hike, heading over to my mom's house to have a cup of coffee, or down to the dog park to take the dog for a walk. Having that enhanced highway assist gives me a little bit extra peace of mind that the car can take over some of the functions of driving for me on enabled highways, and then I can continue the rest of the road from there. And we're looking to expand to off-highway and even more roads as we get to later on this year and into early next. So a really great feature that we just debuted not a week ago.
Is that coming on the RST and R1T, or is that going to be an over-the-air update for those, or is this only coming to the R2 and the R3?
It's coming to the R1S and R1T, so the truck and SUV in market, our Generation 2 vehicles today. They were beamed out with an over-the-air update, so customers can simply accept that on screen and go ahead and download to the vehicle, and they'll have a chance to experience what that is. And obviously, in our expanding our autonomy features and what the Gen 2 roadmap, everything that's capable with our vehicles today, it'll continue to get better. And then obviously even further with R2 and R3 as those come with the next generation midsize platform.
So the update, if I have one now, which I don't because I'm not as rich as Michelle, the attorney, but if I were to have an R1T right now, I could do the OTA, the over-the-air update, and get this downloaded to my existing Rivian.
Yep, at 2025 model year, our generation 2 and forward. So yeah, the new ones that are on the road, if you've got one, you bought one last June, you're able to download this update to your car and get those Gen 2 vehicles for a hands-off, eyes-on, enhanced highway assist driving experience.
And do they have to pay for that or not?
I think right now we're launching with a free trial on that to... not saying how long it is going, but it's a free trial to get people introduced to the technology, and we'll release more details on pricing and packaging later on.
Okay, very good. Michelle.
Question on range. Why don't you tell us about range? Because I know everyone is concerned when they get into an EV, how far can I go without having to recharge?
And as we talked about on the Generation 2 vehicles, efficiency was a core function of what we've done. So, you know, we've taken the R1T to 420 miles of range on our max battery pack with the dual motor, and then the R1S to 410 miles. And what's even better is you can charge from about, I think, 10% to 80% in just under 40 minutes. So not only is there more range on the vehicle, the charging is a little bit quicker, and going down to our, what we call Rivian Adventure Network, our RAN sites, Rivian vehicles can plug in. We have one of the highest uptimes of any EV chargers on the market, fill up that battery and continue your road trip. So over 400 miles range on both the R1S, R1T, I think that's a pretty good driving range.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, what do people demand now? What does the market demand?
I think, I mean, for any of us, that sweet spot, anything, you know, when EVs first launched, many different nascent EVs, we wanted to get to that 100-mile range, then that 200, 250, 300. I think customers start to feel really comfortable and confident at 300, anything north of that. So seeing that 300, 350, and then for us, even 400-plus with the Max Pack is something that's really confident and capable for our consumers. And most of our customers are actually opting, huge take rate on that Max battery pack, so they want that the most range available.
What is that in terms of kilowatt hours, the battery packs that you have now?
About 140 or 141 usable kilowatt hour.
Wow, that's usable. So what's the one that the other car companies advertise?
You know that? I don't know. There are some batteries that are much, much bigger, but we focus on not just having a big battery to take you super far, which is the way to, you know, is a way to achieve it, but we focus on efficiency. I mean, on the Rivian R1S that I was driving, even in the cold Michigan winters where I live, I was still able to achieve, in city driving, I will say, about 3 miles per kilowatt hour. So a very efficient vehicle, and I try not to have a lead foot, even though we know that almost instant torque, I won't say instant, you know, from zero, but that torque, that's all automatically available. I like to put my foot down, but if I'm driving conservatively around town, I easily achieve 3+ miles per kilowatt hour.
And you have, in those cold Michigan winters, the heater. How's that work?
We've got a new and a generation two. We moved to a heat pump system. So in mid-ambient temperatures, what does that mean, right? In something that's, you know, negative below zero all the way to about plus 20 degrees. So minus 20 to about plus 20 degrees Celsius. We have much stronger heating capability in the vehicle, so we can heat up a lot quicker. And then in those hot summers, whether it's out in California, in Michigan, or even down south, we're able to cool the cabin and keep drivers comfortable with the air conditioning.
Can you tell us, and in my case, please use sock puppets and one syllable terms, what is a heat pump and how does it work? Because everybody's saying it's so much more efficient And, you know, it uses less energy. You can get heat all winter and you don't have to worry about it. Tell us what it is and how it works.
So it transfers heat, I think, from one spot to another, whether it's using electricity to move heat rather than generating it. So even in the coldest temperatures outside, you're able to draw some level of heat. Now, if we're talking Antarctica, that's probably very different. But even in some of those Midwest winters, we're still able to find some heat and pull that into the cabin and using electricity to amplify that heat into the vehicle. So really complex system, but almost at the end of the day, even a simpler system with the way we implement it to keep our customers, you know, warm in those winters and cool in the summers.
Is it really a pump? Is there like a cylinder and a piston or
higher?
Do you know how that works? Or
I degrees in finance and I do PR.
You have people who know that.
We got people that know that. We can get you more information.
All right.
It is a more efficient system.
So I remain baffled, like the monkey on 2001: A Space Odyssey. You know, Michelle, save us.
In the R1T, I drove. It has a heated steering wheel, Mark, and heated seats, no problem. And they fired right up, just like, you know, any other conventional vehicle would. So good for you guys. I wanted to know because it was freezing and it worked. So yeah.
The heated seats, one of the things that I've loved ever since whoever invented it, thank you, or was first to debut it. Because for me, a heated steering wheel, I think, is more important than a heated seat, because I've got, you know, in where I live in Michigan, I've got my pants on, sometimes even my snow pants on after, you know, shoveling some snow. But when I get in, there's nothing better than grabbing a nice toasty wheel. It's nice and warmed up for me. But then even in the summer when you're driving, we've got cooled seats as well. So heated in the winter, cooled in the summer. And honestly, sometimes I use those heated seats for my back. It feels great on a long road trip. So very usable.
You're too young to have a bad back.
It's those old football injuries.
What about the electric vehicle market right now? I mean, you can't believe things you hear or read on the internet, but you see things that say that the market has plateaued at 10%. New car buyers, only 10% of them are going for electric vehicles. And, you know, what is really happening out there? What do you say about the market for electric vehicles?
I mean, according to even a Cox study that was done, I think, last month in early January or February, I mean, we're still, while there's anything you read on the news or you hear, obviously you got to read beyond the headline, all of us, whatever it is that we're reading on. So EV adoption continues to rise each and every quarter. There's continuous growth. It's not a silver bullet that we're going to get to an all-electric future tomorrow. But what it is that there's strong, concerted step that we'll take the market adoption as we continue to grow our brand, offering new vehicles at new price points like the R2, like the R3. Over the next few years, I think you're going to see EV adoption continue to rise. And it was funny. I grew up Metro Detroit kid, right? So I'm a gearhead through and through. I love to the fastest Mustangs and Corvettes that you can get. But getting into an EV, it's just simpler. And there's a lot of people, even on my team, people I work with that are roughly my age as well, and have never driven anything but an EV. An EV was their first car. They've always driven some type of EV and they've switched over to a Rivian. So we continue to see, as education and understanding of EVs in the marketplace, the benefits. What's amazing with us, 0-60 in 2.5 seconds, the quarter mile in 10.5 at 130 miles an hour, or I can take it and tackle Moab. It shows the breadth of capability that an EV offers, whether on-road or off-road. And we feel we have a great option to get customers transition to an all-electric future. And as well, each quarter that adoption continues to rise. Every quarter could be different than the other, but the future is bright for EVs.
Every guy I've seen, or young lady, I don't know. See, I always get in trouble with the actual wordage here. Every person I've seen... Michelle will come on later with apologies to various groups I've offended. Everyone I've seen driving a Rivian, they all look like they are rather young and they have degrees in computer engineering. That's just, looking at them, I guess. But how do you reach out to buyers beyond that, the early adopters, the smart guys who don't have an iPhone 6? They have, you know, something more complex than that. How do you reach the audience, maybe like me, who's less technically savvy?
I've been saying it for a while. It's something, just drive it, right? Get into it. My mom was one. Before I bought her first EV, she was I'm not driving an EV. It's not for me. My mom, who drives maybe 50 miles a week to the grocery store, down to church, goes to see her sisters and friends. It's such a great and efficient vehicle in the city. And for those that are, you know, as you mentioned, the younger audience usually is more early adopters. But we see a wide set of customers that come to Rivian and to EVs in general. But for me, things like we've done here at the Electric Joyride in Austin, getting people into the vehicle to experience it, I think it comes down to that education and comfort and understanding. It is a small lifestyle change, but I find it ever since I've gone EV, it's so easy that I just plug my car in at night. Electric rates in Michigan are low or they're cheaper overnight. I'm able to wake up to a fully charged car. I get up and go. I drive by gas stations all the time and never thought twice about it. Now, did I have to adjust my road trips a little bit? Sure. Is there a little bit of pre-planning I need to do before some of those longer trips? Absolutely. But for the most consumers, and I don't think it's changed much in the last 10 years, most people drive less than 40 to 50 miles a day. There are those mega commuters and super commuters that drive that hour, hour and a half, 2 hours plus. But for the majority of Americans, an EV is perfect for their daily commutes. And with the expansion of charging networks, like our own Rivian Adventure Network, as that continues to proliferate, obviously the supercharger network that's available nationwide, charging is up and easy, 20 minutes at a rest stop, grab yourself a nice cola, hit the road again.
You can charge a Rivian at the Tesla superchargers. Is it an AXE Tesla charge port on the Rivian?
We are currently still have the CCS charge port, but we are we offer an adapter, the NACS adapter that plugs right in. And as soon as you plug in, it starts to charge right away.
And how big is that Rivian charging network right now?
I'd have to double check on the markets. I can pull up that the number, but we're kind of nationwide and we continue to expand. And it is a scalable network of a 900 volt architecture. Now, what does that mean as we move from 450 volt cars to faster charging cars? Our network is able to adapt with the times. It's not like you might see some older chargers from a couple years ago that might have to be changed. Our hardware is scalable, so from today we can take those chargers forward and grow from there. We're going to have more remote chargers in places like national parks, you know, places that are unexpected, but where Rivian will show up, where our customers like to go, like the one we opened up in Joshua Tree, the one up in Groveland, and a few other spots. So we'll continue to open up these RAN sites, and going forward, all of our sites will be what we call open RAN, open and available to all EVs to help that EV adoption.
I've been to the one in Joshua Tree and the one in Las Vegas, and they work very nicely. Oh, and the one in Barstow, I think it is, out in. Right, and surrounded by terrible fast food. It's an excellent location. You couldn't ask for anything better.
And we've got 12 open RAN sites right now, RAN, Rivian Adventure Network sites right now. We're continuing to backcast and open up our future network as well. So doing our part to help EV adoption.
All right. Michelle, anything? Thoughts?
I thought that the Rivian has an advantage when you're talking about market, in the market, because you are just an EV company. You're do you have a little bit of headwind because you're not GM or one of the big three trying to jump into the EV market? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, no, I think we're excited about the opportunity. We came to market as a different brand, something that, you know, again, I keep saying it, but our tagline, keeping the world adventurous forever, it shows what an EV can do. As I mentioned, whether it's on-road driving, you know, driving to the park, off-roading, anything in between, we feel that the future is all electric. We want to preserve the planet and have a mission of sustainability for our kids and the future of what this world means. And obviously by reducing carbon emissions and moving towards an all electric mobility solution, we'll be able to do that. And we're excited about the opportunity that R2 presents to us in opening up a much wider swath of the market, around 45,000 starting for that vehicle. Again, talking to a much wider audience that as EV adoption continues to grow, by the time we hit that vehicle to market. And I would say that even, you know, you mentioned some of those other larger OEMs, a big boost of confidence, I think, was how Volkswagen invested nearly $6 billion in Rivian for our software and electrical architecture as a joint venture, Rivian Volkswagen Technologies LLC. So that joint venture, we're super excited to help develop some of the future VW Group vehicles. We're able to move quickly. We've developed and innovated vehicles a little bit different than some traditional OEMs, and I think the JV is a good nod of confidence with that.
Okay. Just one last question, then we will let you get back to South by Southwest. Are you line dancing later or clogging?
I'm a goose. I was breaking them in earlier. I got to get my cowboy hat. My friend Miles over there has it.
Very good. Some of these other car makers, and I won't name names. I won't say Lucid, Tesla, any other names. But
you just did.
They are. They've been in the news lately for various financial and sales issues. Tesla is having troubles. Maybe we know why, maybe not. Lucid is struggling to get cars out the door. I mean, they both make very good cars, but they are they're not. It's not that easy for them. How are things at Rivian?
I'd say they're great. And I think we're happy to be in the news with things, our activations like South by Southwest, an amazing lease deal that we've got going on for our R1S dual standard starting at $599 a month, which is an amazing variant, over 270 miles of range. The news that we've made with the enhanced highway assist, the software updates that we do every month for our vehicles, and even to be in the news with something fun like we did last Halloween, bringing back the Knight Rider and Kit on our R1S or an R1 vehicle. So we're excited for what the outlook looks like for EVs. We're heads down and focused on getting R2 to market early next year and focus on everything ahead for Rivian.
I bet you are financially sound. Everything's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with the investment that we've had with the Volkswagen joint venture, I don't know what our last, but I think we hit a gross margin profit last quarter as well. So the outlook is bright for us.
All right. Very good. Future's so bright, you got to wear shades. Thank you for coming on. We have dubbed him Mike because I can't say Mikhail. Mikhail Farah from Rivian, thank you so much for joining us here on the car show and sharing things about your exciting company down there in Orange County. We will now tag you and release you into the wild with a small transponder that we can use to track your movement.
We have to track you guys later.
Yeah. So, and also, we here at CarShow would like a long-term R2 or R3. If you can just give that test drive of a year is usually standard in the.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. Thank you. Thanks again.
Thanks for having us.
For being on.
Thank you all.
All right. Have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, Michelle, it's just you and I now.
So guess what? We have a new law I'd like to talk about.
All right. Michelle, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, she is a practicing attorney and does a lot of law with car-related things, automotive industry-related things. So I can't wait to hear what's going on.
I just want to editorialize for a second that I really wanted to start a segment called Cars and Criminals. but this second concept I have is legal news for car people, which I need a catchier name for this. Anywho.
Okay.
How about Leno's Law?
Leno's Law, that sounds good.
Yeah. Well, there is a such thing. It's real, Mark.
Okay.
This is for classic car owners. Listen up. If you have a car that's over 35 years old, there's a new Senate bill in California introduced by a California state senator from San Diego. Her name is Shannon Grove. Don't know her, even though I spent a lot of years in San Diego. She must be new. So if you are one of those classic car owners who are sick and tired of having to go through smog checks every 2 years, you will be very happy to hear that Senator Grove has introduced a bill called Senate Bill 712. That would exempt your 35-year-old and older vehicle from your every other year smog check requirement. So this is an interesting law because you might think, well, wait, there's already something on the books for pre-76 cars, 1976. Well, this will be a little another sort of a layer to add to that. It's not going to repeal the pre-76 exemption. It just adds another, I don't even know what to say for the word, another layer of help to people with classic cars so that you don't have to do the smog checks. Now, what do you have to do in order to get in on this? Have a 35-year-old or older car and get it insured by a classic car insurance company. Or a classic car insurance policy. Doesn't have to be Hagerty. I'm hearing that State Farm will do it. So you just need to call an insurance company, maybe check with your other, with your buddies in your car club. Who do you guys use? But you have to have that kind of insurance in order to qualify. So if you do this when you register your car, you'll get the exemption.
Now, I understand that in order to get classic car insurance, you have to prove to the insurance company that this is not your daily driver. You have to show them a policy for another car that you drive and own and insure. Is that right?
It depends on the insurer. That's a typical requirement, but you have to ask. And also, while you're on that subject, another typical requirement is that be garaged. So you have to find out from the insurance company, is it okay if I have it in a carport? Is it okay if I only park it in my driveway without a cover? Some of them will say, I know Haggerty does, you have to have it in a garage.
Okay, so that's a roof and four doors?
Yeah, so, you know.
Or four walls, sorry. Three walls, one door.
Three walls and something that closes it all in to keep the rain out, I suppose.
So will this save car collectors money?
It will, in the sense that you don't have to get conventional car insurance.
But the news is that you don't have to get it smogged anymore.
That will save you money right there, because that's upwards of $100 now to get it smogged. And here's another problem. The reason why Senator Grove brought this up was because there's aging equipment required in order to smog test an older car. A lot of the car smoggers aren't using that equipment anymore. It's harder to come by. So you're going to have to drive further to get your car smogged if it's an older car. And also, there's an argument that these cars aren't on the road all that much. They're not contributing to the smog, which is where Leno came in. And Leno kind of stepped in and said, yeah, you know, these cars are driven for exhibitions. They're driven for parades. They're driven for leisure on the weekends only. These aren't your commuters. These are not your everyday smog contributors that have a huge carbon footprint. And so, you know, there's issues also. They quoted an LA classic car dealer named Franco Bernardi. I don't know if you know who he is.
No, I don't.
He said that this will help because classic car insurance is cheaper than regular insurance, and it'll help the Hollywood studios. How about that? Wow. Because they need a steady supply of people they can count on with classic cars for their movie shoots or their video shoots. So this is something that is really important for Southern California.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. There have been laws or proposed laws introduced to help collector cars in the past. And let's hope that this one goes through.
Exactly.
That's cool. Well, thank you, Michelle, our legal expert, giving us the rundown on that. Michelle also had, and not coincidentally, drove a very interesting electric car just recently. Michelle, tell us about that one.
Yeah, I got to jump in with someone who owns a Rivian and who works for Rivian to show me about how to work all the controls. I got to drive the R1T, the pickup truck. So
that was yours, a Gen 2? It must have been a Gen 2, I guess.
Yes, it was. It was. And, you know, having not, I don't drive a lot of pickup trucks. But, you know, Mark, if I had to add one to my stable, I think I'd pick this one. You know, the frunk is ginormous. Tons of storage in the 5-foot bed. Really nice amenities in the bed, too. You know, you want these tie downs. You want things where you can stow underneath. And one of the things that, if you've ever seen Rivians at, I know you said you saw them at the Electric Expo.
Electrify Expo, yeah.
Electrify Expo up there in Long Beach. Did you see the pass-through that's right behind the passenger seat and the truck bed?
Does the whole thing flip down, or is it just like a ski pass-through, or how big is that?
Yeah, it's like a ski pass-through, but it could also be for golf clubs. It's about 4 feet around, and it goes all the way through the length of, or the width of the truck. And it's got the doors on each side, so you could unload and load from either side.
Oh, you're talking about like the tunnel under the back. And they, when that first came out, they had that slide out kitchen set up. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And they stopped. They stopped offering that. I don't know why. I don't know what happened with that. But it just left that space in there. That's pretty cool.
And
did you ever see the pictures of our colleague Jen Ciminello, the automotive journalist from Chicago? She likes to take pictures crawling inside of a trunk. And there's a picture of her crawling through that space.
That's right. And that's what they were telling me yesterday when I went to go see the preview at the retail store, that the kids always just, you know, barrel right through. And that's their favorite part of the truck. But
yeah, smuggler special.
Yeah. So there's a lot of storage. This was really a surprise to me because I thought with all the battery, you know, they take up so much space traditionally in EVs. And I was expecting something different. So as far as drive quality, you know, I'm all about handling because I'm a Mazda driver. This thing handled so well. I was really impressed. And, you know, if there was a Miata that was a truck, this would be it.
Okay. Did you, so you were in the R1T. Did you have the 1,000, what did you say, 1,025 horsepower version?
I did. And it was great. I took it on the 405. And
how did it accelerate?
It, like a dream. Just instant.
Was it in one of those hyperspace moments where everything blurred and you just were screaming and holding onto the steering wheel?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Where you're giggling like a schoolgirl. Yeah. Trying not to scare the person you're driving with. Yeah. And then lots of cool features and options that you would expect in a high-tech IV or EV. Sorry.
Was it like you got in it and to drive it away, a lot of these quote-unquote innovative new electric cars, they don't have the same controls that we're used to. You know, I'm used to you turn a key on the steering column, you pull out the choke lever, you know, you do the high beams with a switch on the floor. Was it easy to get used to and figure that out, all the controls on this Rivian truck?
I thought so. I jumped in. There is no parking brake or e-brake. I kept asking. None. There is no on-off switch. You have a card. It's like a credit card. You lay that into the console, and it turns itself on. And you, the turn signals are the same. The windshield wipers... It was very easy. And the lights, everything's on automatic, just like you'd get on a conventional ICE vehicle. I didn't find it was difficult at all. So,
okay. On your drive, were you able to use the, we heard just a little bit earlier about the, what did he call it? It's cruise control. It sounds very much like Super Cruise.
Enhanced Highway Assist.
What's it called again?
An enhanced highway assist, eyes on, hands off. No, I didn't use that.
All right. Well, I just,
I didn't want to do that.
Like when it does work, you have to, it's the kind where your hands are off, but your eyeballs have to be focused forward.
Yeah. But that's normal. I mean, that even the Cadillacs have that, right? Yeah. They'll give you a little warning or a vibration on your steering wheel if you're not focusing, and it will track your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it should do, right? It should notice if you're paying attention to something else other than the road. So that's okay. Yeah, it was great as far as easy to get used to. Even the seat adjustments, it's the same thing. You reach over to the side and you go up and down and front and back. And the adjustments for the side mirrors, those were on the steering wheel. And
nice.
And it gave me a quick directive, and maybe it's because I'm in so many cars, I was able to go, oh, okay, bump, 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 and I got it dialed in 2 seconds.
That's good.
Yeah.
Would you say it's intuitive?
Yeah.
Everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing, too, where once they tell you, you don't have to think about it again. You just go, oh, okay, so that's where that is. All right. It just isn't too complicated. It's not too busy in there.
Okay.
And they are, like I told you when I was talking to them in the show space, the retail space, about the materials and the selections you can make for the colors on your interior when you're ordering one. It's all, targeted for people who are concerned about the environment. So there is no real leather, and there is, and the wood is naturally sourced and or sustainably sourced.
And the trees were raised in government housing and given a job when they reached a certain, and they died of old age surrounded by loved ones.
And they were free range. Yes.
Free range trees. That's very nice. Remember the Fisker had that little piece of wood about the size of a tongue depressor on the dash, and it was sourced. The story I heard, I think this is what they've actually said, was that it was sourced from trees found at the bottom of Lake Michigan. Something like that. But you know, that must work. It must resonate with a segment of buyers. So
I guess so. But that's the whole concept with this company, is outdoors and respect for the environment. So you would expect that. You don't want to go in there and see, you know, some wood that got chopped down from a Brazilian rainforest in
right.
a car.
Yeah, the little monkey is still hanging on to it, you know, as they chop it. Oh, yes. It's not like that.
Not with this company. No, you won't get that. So if that's your concern, this would be a good company.
Did you, was there a window sticker for this car that you drove?
Nope.
Do you know about what the price was?
I did not see.
Oh, okay. What are prices for the R1T? Because, I mean, we heard $45,000 for the R2 that's coming next year, and no price for the R3, but I just wonder what's the price of a Rivian nowadays?
I would say, well, I'm sure they told me yesterday.
I'm looking it up. Just keep talking.
Okay. Well, before we went on air, we were talking with Michael a little bit about some of the features that I enjoyed.
$70,000 to start.
$70,000, yeah. It had interior lighting, and you can check all the colors. Oh, and another cool feature, too, in the truck bed is that it comes with a special set of tie-downs for bicycles, and there's these little slots in the sides of the truck bed, and you just insert those things in there. You can get, you know, probably 5 or 6 bikes back there with that one cord, and it, as soon as you walk away with your little credit card key, it locks automatically, and there's a guard that will, you know, audibly tell somebody if they start to fiddle with that system and try to get the bikes loose. It'll say, no, please don't take my bikes, or something like that.
I think they should have a slightly more authoritative, I don't know, line than that. Less passive, more like, hey, man, get away from my bicycle.
Well, in the old days, it was like, step back from the vehicle.
Yeah, I remember those. I think it was the 70s or 80s that was recording.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, get your hands off this Volare.
Yeah, so this is a kinder, gentler, you know, guard system.
Excellent.
So, I would encourage you to go visit the spaces. They have one in San Diego. They're pretty much all over the place. But just Google where the retail space is if you're traveling or outside Southern California. You want to see and get your hands on a Rivian without having to, you know, have any sales pressure. They're just super informative. That's what they're about there. And just if you have your questions, I'll answer them.
Their salespeople are not on a commission, right? The same as the Tesla people. They're just there to...
Right. These people aren't salespeople.
Right.
They don't even have computers there to do a sale. It's just... Okay.
And there's a new one opening up down in the OC, right? As we just heard.
Yeah. In Irvine, right here at the Irvine Spectrum. It's right over there by Javier's and on the side of the mall where Paul Martin's restaurant is.
Okay. Good. So,
yeah.
Good. Well, while you were driving that, I was driving another electric vehicle, and it kind of, I've only had it now for about 24 hours, and I drove it just now up to Malibu and back, and I drove it on Mulholland a little bit. It is a Polestar, okay? 2025 Polestar 3 long-range dual motor with the performance pack. That I have now had, like I said, for 24 hours. And take into account that I am not like the typical Rivian buyer who can decipher all these new ways of doing things. So I would say if you're considering a Polestar, spend a lot of time with the sales professional learning how the darn thing works, because this is another one where you put the credit card on the center console and then you just put it in gear and you drive away. And that also turns on the headlights. It also releases the brake. It does a lot of stuff. Remember, Polestar began as Flash Engineering in 1996, and it evolved into a tuning division for Volvo Cars, eventually becoming a standalone electric vehicle manufacturer in 2017, with the focus on design, innovation, and sustainability. So it was founded. Okay, here's a bit of trivia for you. Who was the guy who founded Flash Engineering back in 1996? That's nobody will get this.
Flash Gordon.
No, I'm sure there's somebody out there listening saying, I know. It was Jan Flash Nilsson, a Swedish touring car championship driver. And if I'm not mistaken, I think his son drives still in touring cars or supercars or something. I think he was at the Spa 24 Hours last year, if I'm not mistaken, the one that had all the rain and thunderstorm and everything. So anyway, Jan Flash Nielsen founded Flash Engineering Racing Team to compete in the Swedish Touring Car Championship. And that's where we trace the roots of Polestar back to. And so, I mean, we don't have to go through every single Polestar made, but I only have 3 minutes left to tell you about this car. So China's Geely Holdings now owns both Volvo and Polestar, and the company is counting on its investment in a manufacturing plant in Ridgeville, South Carolina, to start paying dividends, because as we know, you have to have your EV built in America, and so that will be a big help to them. So this is a two-row all-electric near-luxury crossover that looks and feels, I would say, and my colleague Tom Murphy at AutoWeek.com back in Detroit, he also had one. He says it looks and feels purely Scandinavian, and it's been rolling out of the Ridgeville plant for quite a while now. You can get up to 315 miles of range on this. When I first picked it up, It was 100% full, and it said 300 miles range. That is, of course, based on the last guy who was driving it.
Yep.
Might have been a little bit more lead-footed than some others. But a couple of quick notes about this. The charge port is on the door on the left rear corner, so it makes it easy to pull into a Tesla supercharger. Of course, mine is a CCS adapter, so you'd have to get an adapter to put on there. To hook up to the so-called NACS location. We've only got 30 seconds left. Anyway, it is very fast. It goes around a corner without leaning. I don't know if I like the look or if I don't like the look. Have a look for yourself. You can go to autoweek.com and see it there. And in the meantime, we encourage you to stick around and listen to Rhapsody in Black, a great 2 hours of great music you didn't know you loved. We got to say thank you to our buddy in the control booth for doing such a good job, Wendell. And we will definitely see you next week here on The Car Show.
Are you a new listener or has your membership lapsed? KPFK would like to invite you to become a sustainer for as little as $5 per month. Our goal is to reach 500 new friends before our next fund drive starts in April. You can help us reach that goal by becoming a sustainer of KPFK at $5 per month. You just call 818-985-5735 and press option 2. Or go online to kpfk.org and click on Donate to make your contribution. If we can reach the goal of 500 sustainers before our upcoming spring fund drive, we'll be able to cut down the number of days in that drive. And of course, your recurring donation helps fund quality programming on KPFK. Setting up the monthly payments is quick and easy and goes a long way in supporting your community radio station. Once again, kpfk.org and click on donate or 818-985-5735 and press option 2. Thank you.
Soy Gregorio Luque y estás escuchando KPFK 90.7 FM en Los Ángeles, 98.7 FM en Santa Bárbara y por el mundo www.kpfk.org. I am Gregorio Luque and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Bárbara, and throughout the world you can contact us at www.kpfk.org.